everybody, and welcome back to Sapphic Survival Guide, where we are happy to be queer to answer your questions. I'm Gina.
And I'm Cheyenne.
And class is now in session. We are hitting a 200 level class today. We are upping our course credits, and we are going into bisexuality 2.0. And our first bisexual episode is one of our most listened to episodes. I was just telling Cheyenne, I feel like I have like such an evolution with the word, how I identify with the word bisexual, whether I do identify with it or not. I think that even like bisexual, pansexual, I just feel like sometimes that just gives like, I don't know, bisexual feels like it gives a lot of credit to men, in my opinion. So sometimes when like I hear the word bisexual, I'm like, I don't really know that really does fit me anymore. And pansexual only does because I feel like it requires some explanation behind it of like, well, what does that mean to you? But I don't know. It's interesting. I'm going into this bisexual 2.0 episode feeling like, I have a label that's totally accurate, but I used to be known as like bisexual Gina on like Ross's podcast and stuff. So I don't know. It's very weird to me, to be honest.
Yeah, it just proves that not everyone's identities are like stagnant, and like sometimes shit can be fluid, and our identities and how we choose to identify and what resonates, like it might not be the same your whole life, but it might be. But like, yeah,
you know,
I think there's a lot of wiggle room with the word bisexual. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, there is actually one of the questions, and this isn't like a question, but someone just put in quotes, the bisexual to lesbian pathway. And I feel like there could be listeners who are listening and are like, yeah, Gina, you thought you were bisexual, and like you're slowly realizing you're a lesbian. And I just like, I don't think that's true for me. Like, as much as I love being super queer and gay and being in like that lifestyle and everything, the word lesbian just doesn't feel authentic to me, because I'm like, but it's not just like women and non-binary people. Like, there are a couple, there's like, it's a small amount, but I also feel like, is it a small amount because of my true attraction level, or is it a small amount because men in this society are such trash that it's really hard to like not be a misandrist? I don't know. There is a trope of like gay, not even just lesbians, but like anybody who's gay, gay men, gay women who come out as bisexual first and then they end up coming out later as something different. But I don't think that's like, oh, bisexual is a stepping stone, or it's like the first step to your real identity. I just think that you, if you're going to realize that you're open to certain things, like bisexual can make sense when you're still either under like compet things, like under that world, or when you're not fully willing to like let go of certain people. I think that it does make sense for some people to kind of streamline their way into being fully gay rather than just making a full jump. But I don't think it's ever going to be right to like see somebody who's like, oh, you came out as bisexual, like you're totally going to be gay. I think that happens a lot to gay men, which I think is really unfair. But I could also see somebody hearing what I'm saying and thinking that I'm on this pathway, but like neither word feels authentic to what my sexuality is. Queer does, because what does that mean to anybody? You have to ask them. But like, I think that the pathway, it's not like something that truly exists. It's more just like sometimes that's what you figure out first before you end up. Like, people get off the train at different stations. You know, not everybody's going all the way to Poughkeepsie. Some people are getting off.
You love a metaphor. I love it though. Like, you love it.
Some people are getting off sooner.
You took the words out of my mouth though. I think it all comes down to like circumstance and what feels best at that time, and sometimes that fluctuates. Sometimes bisexual feels right for someone forever, and you know, sometimes there are people who go from identifying as straight to bisexual to lesbian to back to bisexual. So I don't think that it's necessarily like a pathway. I think it can be more comfortable at times for people. Like, if, like, for me, I realized I was queer as with a man. So obviously, I did feel like this, like, pull to call myself a lesbian. And maybe that was, like, a result of societally conditioned biphobia. But there's also, like, societally conditioned lesbophobia and homophobia. So it's hard to say, was it, like, societal pressure, or was it, you know, me realizing, like, hey, I do feel this, like, call to the word lesbian, but I'm in a relationship with a man and we're non-monogamous, so, like, I feel like I should identify as bisexual because that's not going to necessarily make sense to other people. And it didn't really make sense to me at that time because I was just figuring my shit out, obviously. But there are, like, so many different experiences and circumstances and conditioning, and just, like, it's nothing is gonna, like, be a one size fits all, and some people do go from identifying one way to identifying another way, and some people don't. Just the luck of the draw, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought you were gonna say the luck of the Irish.
I actually sounded like I was going to a little bit. The luck of the Irish.
It is March.
Irish bisexual. Shout out to the Irish bisexuals.
That's so funny.
This one's for you.
Since you had said you were in a relationship with a man when you realized you were queer, somebody said, how do I come out if I'm married to a man? Will I always languish deep in unrequited love? I mean, I feel like that's, like, a testament to, like, monogamy, because I don't think, regardless, I mean, I guess it is different when it's like, oh, I realized this new part of myself after making this commitment. But, like, even no matter what gender you and your partner are, if you're in a committed marriage, like, isn't there always going to be discussions of, like, wow, I met this new person who's very attractive. And if I was single, I would obviously operate different than I would because I'm married. Like, I just feel like that's part of being in a committed monogamous relationship. But I don't know, the words also make me feel like there's things left unexplored
here. I agree. Yeah. Because your love for your husband should be requited. Like, maybe you won't get to experience that with a woman or a non-binary person. But I mean, wasn't that something you kind of chose when you married this person to begin with, that you weren't going to, like, experience any other men and, like, I mean,
people,
obviously. Yeah, exactly. And that's where, like, I always say, like, if you're not happy in a relationship, you gotta figure out a way to be happy, whether that's, like, non-monogamy or breaking up with them. But yeah, it sounds like something else is going on here, because there are lots of people who are bisexual who are married and they're cool with it. And I'm not saying, like, something is wrong with you, but maybe there's something else you can look at about the relationship to figure out why it's not working for you and, like, what you're lacking from your partner or what they could give you if you don't feel like you're necessarily lacking something.
Yeah, and there's obviously, you can always talk through potential ethical non-monogamy if you do want to explore things. But I would hope that, like, marriage means that that's, like, your person for life. So even if there is, like, something else you want to explore, like, if that's still your partner, that's still your partner. And you have to work it out with that person, of course.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess since we were just talking about a bisexual who's married to a man and kind of talking about the quote-unquote bisexual to lesbian pathway, we got another question that says, do so many women think they're bi because of comp het? And I don't necessarily know if I would say that's why. Like, is the question, are bi people bi because of comp het, or are most women bi but don't practice
I think the question is, are most women bi over lesbian because of compet? That's how I read it.
Okay. Well, I don't think it could fully be said that it's because of compet. I'm sure there are some cases where it could be because of compet, but like there are definitely people who are bisexual. I think it's hard to say that, like, oh, you're only bisexual because of compet, when bisexual is like the largest way people identify in the queer community. Like, that's like the greatest population in the queer community. And I think that's because there are so many definitions and options and ways to experience bisexuality. And not to say that there isn't for identifying as a lesbian, but I just think sexuality is a spectrum, and lesbian is going to be on one end, straight's going to be on the other. So bisexual, pansexual, queer, that's going to be like across the entire continuum. So it makes sense for so many people to identify as bi, because there's, you could be like Gina, who doesn't necessarily identify as bi anymore, but like who leans more towards women, or you could be on the complete opposite end of that spectrum. So it just, it's a spectrum. That's my answer to that one.
I don't think it's easy to just say a blanket, you know, compet affects this, this, and this, because it affects so many things. And it's not even just our sexuality. Like, if you think about what's normalized in society that you might not do, like if it wasn't, perfect example is drinking and going to bars. I know so many people who like, it's not like drinking's not our thing, but it's just super normal on the weekends to go out and go to the bar. And when you're there, you get a drink. And like, that's not typically what I would do if it wasn't such a common thing. Like, there's so many things you can think of like that. And I think to say, oh, all these women would definitely be lesbians if it weren't for compet, is giving compet a lot of credit for like people who are probably living pretty comfortably under that bisexual umbrella. And I do think that, like, kind of like you were saying, like sexuality is so nuanced that I think that even in a world where we get to, you know, like in a world where there's absolutely no homophobia and every sexuality is normalized, I still think we would see people across the spectrum of everything, of bisexual, straight, gay. I don't think we'd see like the numbers change drastically. I think if anything, without compet, we would just see people coming to terms with themselves sooner and younger rather than later on. Like, I think if anything, compet is like a delay to your truth rather than a full, like, you're never going to get there, if that makes sense. So
yeah. And as you said that, it also made me think, like, if we were to eradicate compet completely, it would probably just lead to less use of labels, because we wouldn't need to like label ourselves as something other to specify what we were into. You know what I mean? Like, it would be more of like a pansexual society. Like, we would just all be queer.
It would only matter when you pull up your dating apps preferences and you set your own preferences. That'd be sick. And it's just like, oh, who are you dating? And it's just not like, oh, you're gay. You're gay. You're one of them queers. Like,
I'm gay.
Sorry, I'm delusional.
We're all gay. No, it's fun. I like it.
Well, I feel like this question kind of leads back into what we were talking about a bit. Somebody else asked, how do you still feel valid within the LGBTQ community while in a hetero relationship, despite the biphobia? I feel like I, as somebody who's in a homosexual relationship, I really try and make other like queer people who are in hetero relationships feel valid and like include them in on like the gay jokes and, you know, the gay shows that I'm watching. And it's hard to just be like, literally fuck the people who are being biphobic, because obviously you want to still feel like accepted by the community. But I will just say that, like, I definitely go out of my way for my friends that are queer but dating men to like include them in the gay things and not just like go to my like friends that are single and gay or in like homosexual mm-hmm. relationships, because like if it's a gay joke, everyone's gonna find it funny, you know. It's like, I don't know, it's just like you have to find the people like not like me, but you have to find people who validate mm-hmm. you and make you feel included, because like, I don't know, like just fuck those people who don't, they're
not worth your time. They're literally probably not worth old. Your time. And then also I know I've given they're not old. That's the thing though. I've definitely met young people like that. And it's just like,
that's
get over
so
yourself.
Annoying. Yeah. That's so frustrating to me.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's like, how do we combat people's ignorance and like preconceived notions? And it just,
yeah. And I felt that too, like from people where they're like, oh, well, you're not really like gay, or like, oh, you're just mm-hmm. like drunk. And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like, also, why do I have to prove it to you? Like, what are you going to mm-hmm. revoke my gay card? What are you like right. on the board? Like, what?
Yeah. Like, you and what fucking army?
Yeah. Like,
what are you going
to
do?
Are you taking me to gay court? Like, what is this? Yeah. I don't know. I think it's so, to me, it feels so outdated, and it feels mm-hmm. so archaic and like backwards thinking that mm-hmm. I know it does happen today, and like I just, it annoys me that people would let it even like leave their brain and like make someone mm-hmm. else feel not okay. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. And I know we've had a question similar to this in a past episode, and I said that it's important to work on validating yourself internally so that other people's validation doesn't mean as much to you, because it shouldn't mean anything to you. I mean, obviously that, like you said, it's easier said than done, and easier
yeah.
to say like, oh, it shouldn't matter to you, but like, and then it does. But the more you work on that internal validation, I think the less the external will get to you. And then I think that combined with like not fucking with those people and surrounding yourself with the people who do make you feel validated would be like the super combination to feeling valid in the LGBTQ right. community while in a hetero right. relationship. Yeah. And then that also goes into another question we got, which is, how do you get lesbians to take you seriously? I want to love them, but way too many don't want bi women. And I think loving yourself and valuing and respecting yourself enough to know like you don't want to be with a lesbian who either has past experiences that have negatively impacted their view of all bisexuals, like that's right. just unhealed thinking, or are just straight up like uneducated or whatever. Like, okay, date who you want.
I love that term, unhealed thinking. That is what it is.
Yeah,
I love
it's
that.
Literally just like what is going on there? And like, you don't want those people anyways that are going to make you try and like hide a side of yourself or feel ashamed. Just like you shouldn't want to be with a man who feels threatened by your bisexuality, who doesn't want you to identify. Like, either way, that's not who you should want. And I, like I said, easier said than done. Like, we want who we want, but like, you need to yeah. figure out a way to like love and respect yourself more than you want that person who isn't going to love and respect you the way you deserve.
And like, does this, you think this comes from like a fear of being like left for a man? Because I'm kind of like, I would just be fearful that you're going to leave me, period. Like mm-hmm. not.
Right. And I don't know if it's like, I'm sure for some people it is like being left for a man. For some people it's like the other person having more options in general. But I think okay. what it comes down to is like that person having like trust issues and probably needing yeah. therapy and like having a lot of other stuff that they need to work through before being in any relationship, because that kind of thinking is going to impact their relationship whether they're with a bi person or not. Like, anyone could, like yeah. another lesbian could leave you at any time. So why are you
right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're just narrowing down your chances to finding a partner if you don't want to be with someone who's part of the biggest community in the queer, you know what I mean? Like we said that right. earlier. So that's just fucking yourself over. For what reason?
Right.
Yeah.
I had my ex dated a bunch of women who identified as lesbians and then cheated on her with a man. Like this happened to her like two or three times. And then when I met her, I was like, I mean, I still don't identify as a lesbian, but at the time I was pretty much like, I am bisexual. Like that's the term I use. And one of her friends was kind of like, oh, like, how do you feel about the fact that Gina is bisexual considering like what's happened, blah, 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 blah. And her answer, which I was very happy to hear, was like, well, A, she's honest about everything. And B, I don't think she's going to cheat on me. So it doesn't really matter how she identifies. And that really stuck with me because I was like, okay, so we clearly have trust here because yeah, it shouldn't matter how I identify when I told you we're in a monogamous relationship. Like, because at that point, you know, it's just a matter of like what comments that we are making about like people on TV, which who cares, you know, like what does it look, what does it matter there? Right. And that's, I think, the different mentality is like, it really doesn't matter how somebody identifies, even if these exes that she had were lesbians or bisexuals, it doesn't matter. The fact is that they cheated on her. And it doesn't matter who it was with, it was that they cheated on her. And the fact that she was a lesbian and dated me who identified as bisexual, we had a level of trust that those things didn't matter. We just were in a relationship. And so like, if somebody's not taking you seriously or there's like any sort of weirdness as a result of just literally your sexuality, you're never going to have like trust there, or it's going to be like so much to build and seconds to lose. And that just sounds like fucking exhausting when there's people who will just be like, oh yeah, that's cool how you identify. We're going to be monogamous though. Okay, cool. Like, it's just like, it sounds, it sounds like it should be that simple, but I know there's so much, but like biphobia is so deep. And I think it's so like interesting. I just think, I don't think straight people have any idea how much biphobia exists within our community or like any kind of homophobia. Like, I think that straight people are just like, oh, it's all from outside, right? But that, like, there's so many layers that these problems go into marginalized groups as well. Like, that's like saying there's no, like, racism outside of white people, like, as if that's not, as if racism isn't so deep that, like, it's so much layered than that, and misogyny and, like, whatever else, you know, like,
yeah.
Fucked up. So, it's such so motivating stuff here.
I know.
Well, since we're already on this whole biphobia, another question that we did get: how can we, as a community and as individuals, fight against the existing biphobia within the community? And what can I do about the queer community that excludes bi folks? My biggest thing is just like call them out and then advocate. And so, you know, you can say queer community, that's pretty all encompassing, but actually saying LGBTQ plus, like you're adding in all the letters. I think including, like I'd mentioned, including your bi friends and things and inviting, like just because they're married to a man or dating a man doesn't mean you shouldn't be like, hey, we're all going to this like queer night, to this drag show. We're all getting together to watch couple to thruple, you know, whatever it is, like invite all the people that you're in your circle and don't be like, well, they might not want to because their boyfriend, like just ask them. Like, I think it's up to people within the community to go out of our way to include everybody that wants to be included.
Yeah. And I was going to say, aside from like advocating and doing your best to educate people who are bigoted, whether they're straight or gay or whatever, I think to include bi people in the queer community, including them in whatever way you're able to, is like a good way to fight against that, because the only way that it's going to happen is individually, to come together collectively. So whether that's like as an activist, you're engaging in activist topics that specifically impact bisexual people, or if you're a writer writing characters who are bi, if you're some other kind of artist like drawing, like there are so many different things you can do, I think, to be inclusive. Yeah. Like, even, like, if you host events, like, hosting by specific events, like, there are just, like, lots of things. Like, you and I could have made this podcast, like, women dating women. Podcast, like, survival guide. But, like, it's not like that because Sapphic is all-encompassing, and that's why we're doing episodes like this and interviewing people who identify as bisexual, because we want a full range of experience and inclusion and as much diversity as we can. So I think, you know, working from a ground level and kind of like grassroots inclusion, I think that's your best bet for advocating for other bisexuals.
Yeah. And if you are bisexual, like, follow our guests that are bisexual and read books with bisexual characters and follow accounts that post bisexual memes. Follow Sharmi Taylor, the bi astrology. Her account is so much bisexual stuff. Like, follow those people and encompass, like, bisexual content in your life, and you'll feel affirmed because you'll realize, oh yeah, there's all these other people who are in the same, you know, part of this Venn diagram that I'm in.
Yeah. So I guess our last couple questions, we're kind of rhetorical. I guess one isn't as rhetorical, but the other is. So the first one is, why are all the hot people taken? And we were wondering if we should answer this one for this episode, because it's not necessarily bi-specific, but I made the argument that maybe
you said it is person,
this person saying, like, I'm attracted to, like, any gender, but all the hot ones are taken, while other people want them too. Like, other people have the same tastes as you.
Yeah, that's true. Hot people, like, are, you know, in high demand.
Right. And, like, the way we identify hotness, like, is varied, obviously. And I wouldn't say all hot people are taken. Maybe you just haven't discovered the hottest one yet. And they're, you know, they're like an undiscovered treasure that you gotta find. But, yeah. I mean, I think if you only find taken people hot, that's probably an emotional unavailability thing. So I'd look inward on that one. But,
or find a couple that are quote unquote taken because they're together, but they're open and they're both hot. And then,
okay, couple
to just jump in.
Another
okay, it was a really good
reference.
Show.
I know, I loved it. We haven't even talked about it, but it was so good.
I didn't watch the finale yet, I've watched everything else. So we'll have to, like, I was waiting for my girlfriend to finish it, but
it
still solves the problem.
Yeah, have them take you in, you know, like, you can be three hot people in a relationship instead of two. Sounds
my
like
one
a great
friend
idea.
And this worked for her all the time. My one friend would literally, if she thought a couple was hot, she would boldly just go to them and be like, do you guys want to have a threesome tonight? And it worked for her. I'm going to say, like, 99% of the time.
That's wild.
It worked on me and my girlfriend.
You're like, yeah, I heard that she would always do this, and she
did it to us. And but we're not the only. We're not special. No, but we're not special. That's the thing, Cheyenne, is that she did. That was her line, because she did
special,
it to our
obviously.
Other friends too.
She's special because I feel like that. I don't know. I don't think I would get away with that. I feel like it's a very special person.
I think it takes a lot of confidence and knowing that you want both people. We were both kind of like, you know what, okay, like, yeah. I don't know, and it was fun, so
right.
I think the boldness and the confidence can really sell it.
Yeah,
if you think, you know, the couple's hot,
dream big.
I'm really pushing polyamory today anyway.
Yeah. Okay, and then our last question, this is one I said was more rhetorical. The question is, why are we all so awesome? And I think because there is that variety of experience, and it's such, like, a huge community, like, obviously it allows us to see, like, a broader definition of, like, what awesome can be, because there are so many different experiences that can encompass that awesome. Does that make sense?
Yeah. People are so fun. I think they're usually really well dressed or have some sort of, like, a fun aesthetic. I think they're usually, like, into cool hair, and they usually have like fun hobbies. I think bisexual people are really fun to be around, and it's easy to think that they're awesome because queer people are awesome. And I love finding I love finding bisexuals in the wild. I think mm-hmm. they're great.
Yeah. Yes, I fully agree. So with that is the end of our bisexual 2.0 episode. If you like this one, if you like our podcast in general, you should go follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Please leave us a good review, a nice little rating. That would really help other people find our podcast. And we also have a Patreon if you want to get some exclusive bonus content. It has a free trial on it, so you can go see what we post on there, patreon.com/sapphic survival guide. And we're on all social media platforms at Sapphic Survival Guide, except Twitter/X is just at Sapphic Survival. And you can find me, Cheyenne, at Hot Messian on pretty much any social media platform.
And you can find me anywhere online at LibraGina, including my website, thelibragina.com. And you can listen to my other podcast, Hello, for your Jersey Shore recaps and get ready for season 4. And with that, class is now dismissed.
That is.